This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Hour 2 of Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to make your mortgage experience seamless. Tiki Barber here, sitting in solo as BT is on a personal day for the day. He'll be back tomorrow. We have football at the 40s coming up in this segment at 4:40 Eastern, 1:40 Pacific. In the next hour, we'll talk to my brother, and we'll also talk to Bruce Grobelaar, who is a former goalie for the Liverpool Reds, who are currently playing in the Champions League semifinal, the second leg. They lost the first leg 3-1 to Barcelona. They're up currently 1-0. They lost 3-0 to Barcelona. They're up currently 1-0 at home, and they need two more goals to make this thing a draw, and then we'll go from there. Sam, weren't we talking about this the other day? If both teams, away teams, don't score, the score is equal, how is it determined? Did they play another?
They play another 30-minute overtime.
So it would be at Anfield. It'd be here at Liverpool. 30-minute overtime.
Yes.
And then if that's
then a shootout.
And then a shootout.
Yes. All right.
So we hope, I don't think it'll go that long, but possibly by the time we have Bruce Grobelaar on at 5:40 Eastern, 1:40 or 2:40 Pacific, this Liverpool-Barcelona semifinal match will be over. We're going to talk about the Rockets and the Warriors this hour as well, because a lot of people are making a big deal about the Rockets winning two games at home. Guess what? The Rockets are good. In fact, they won two games at home. Shouldn't surprise you. But before we get to that, I want to start with football and Odell Beckham Jr. Now, Odell, we don't have any sound on this, but Odell was at the Met Gala last night, as were a bunch of other people. The pictures were ludicrous, unless you love fashion and you love the crazy dressing styles of some of these folks. Billy Porter, who I noticed, and I noticed Billy because Billy was in Kinky Boots. He won the Tony for Kinky Boots back in, I forget what year that was, 2011 or 12 or so. But not only did he show up with six shirtless men carrying him on a throne-like structure in a solid gold outfit from head to toe, including his makeup on his face, which was done by LaSonia, who did my makeup when I was on Kinky Boots. He had wings. He had wings on his tux or whatever. It wasn't a tux, it was his outfit. He had wings. I'm sitting here watching these things like, who thinks of this stuff? Well, Odell Beckham Jr. showed up, as some athletes are wont to do. Tom Brady is always there because his gorgeous bride, Giselle, is a fashionista herself. He was pretty conservative. He had on a red velvet tuxedo. Looked like Tom Brady should look, standing next to a supermodel. Saquon Barkley was there. From the pictures that you see that are, chest up, you're talking about your frame, from chest up, he looked perfectly normal. Had a black tux with a black shirt, black bow tie. He looked great. Then you drop a little bit lower, he's got shorts on. And I'm not talking about comfy looking shorts. He's got like coach's shorts. So his thighs are bursting through the shorts and tuxedo. He's got black socks and black slick shoes. I mean, it's kind of risque. Odell Beckham Jr. shows up and he looks like Ricky Vaughn. Ricky Vaughn? Who's Ricky Vaughn? You guys remember Ricky Vaughn from Major League? Ricky Vaughn rips off his sleeves, got his muscles bulging out. Odell Beckham Jr. had his muscles bulging out, and he had a kilt on, which is actually not a bad look for him. I mean, I would never wear it. D-Cell, you'd never wear this.
I can't pull any part of that outfit off.
You can pull the boots off.
I don't know.
Maybe not with the striped socks, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The socks also don't match. They're not the same.
I
definitely can't do that. I'm not cool enough for that.
I'm not even going to ask after because I know he couldn't get away with it. But Odell Beckham Jr. looking flamboyantly fabulous at the Met Gala also talked about the Cleveland Browns. Now, what else? I don't think he talked about it here. I think he talked about this before. Maybe he did talk about that. This isn't a GQ article because, you know, he's GQing it with a kilt, cut off tuxedo sleeves. But he looked cool. He pulled it off somehow. He talked about how he wants the Browns to become the next Pats. He said, I'm here for 5 years, and I want to win as many championships as I can. There's only one problem with what Odell Beckham Jr. is espousing here. It's great to want to achieve and be the New England Patriots, but there's a reason that the New England Patriots win the way that they win. They do it so quietly and without any attention drawn their way that even though you know that they're the greatest team that we've seen in decades in the National Football League, their consistency, attention to detail, their ability to make clutch plays and clutch moments is bar none. And it's every single year over and over and over and over and over. Even though you know all this stuff, you come into a season, you come into a game, the Patriots have the edge, but they'll bore you to death. They did this in the Super Bowl. You were bored to death watching them play slow down, you know, dink and dunk, defensive-minded, field position football. It was boring, but it wins. And it's a philosophy that is the Patriot way. We often joke about this, and we have New England Patriots on the show, and we haven't had one on players, that is. I don't think we've had a Patriot player on in maybe 2 years. Current player. We've had some retired guys. No, we have we have McCourty on, but he's different. Excluding McCourty, all these other guys say absolutely nothing. We get them on the phone. We're chatting them up. They're awesome. Like, hey, yeah, we did this and that. It's cool. They're like every other football player that you'd want to talk to. You get on the air, it's crickets. They say nothing. Makes me speculate that they have like a kangaroo court. That if your name appears in an article or a news report about something that's inside the organization, then you get fined or you lose your playing time or whatever. I don't know. It feels like they have a say nothing philosophy. And it works for them. And the reason it works for them is because even though, as I was just saying, you know that they are the best team on the field in any given game, you know that given the opportunity to go, play in the playoffs or whatever it may be, that they're the best team, you're not talking about them that way. They're so boring that you forget how great they are until they beat you. And the reason that the Browns aren't going to be the Patriots is because they can't help but keep drawing attention to themselves. Like, we know that their talent is beyond anything in the National Football League right now. It's ridiculous with Odell Beckham Jr., who's a record setter. Jarvis Landry, who's right up there as a record setter, almost a record setter as well, next to Odell. I'm talking about number of catches and his production early in his career. David Njoku's a heck of a tight end from tight end U down at the University of Miami. Baker Mayfield, he's a stud. Nick Chubb is a really good second-year player out of Georgia. I mean, Duke Johnson's there. They're trying to get rid of Duke Johnson because they don't have enough balls to go around. And let's not even, let's not forget Kareem Hunt's going to come back at some time. They have talent upon talent upon talent. And the defensive side is full as well. Denzel Ward, who was fantastic as a rookie, Myles Garrett, Olivier Vernon. They have there's everywhere. They have a coach who's a football coach. Right? They don't have a slick guy. They don't have someone who's going to, talk nonsense to you. They have a football coach in Freddie Kitchens who actually is intelligently talking to keep the rhetoric down. But the biggest difference between this Browns team and who they want to be, who they talk about being, is that you can't draw attention to yourself as much as the Browns are trying to draw attention to themselves without doing anything. And yeah, we all know the best laid plans and the best teams on paper. we want to crown them. Some people are already crowning them division champions in the North, which makes no sense. The Pittsburgh Steelers have been atop that division almost every year for the past 5 or 6 years. And then last year, it was the Baltimore Ravens. You think the Baltimore Ravens aren't going to get any better? Lamar Jackson's not going to get any better? Of course they are. I get what Odell Beckham is trying to say. I do. And I like the fact that he's confident. But when you're brash in any sport, more times than not, it comes back to haunt you. It comes back to hurt you. It comes back because people put you on their billboards, their target boards, their dart boards. When you talk as much trash as it seems like the Cleveland Browns are starting to talk, I think it ends badly at the beginning of this season. Are they going to be good? Yeah, they're going to be good. Are they going to be the Patriots? Not a chance. Not a chance at all. Should we be worried about the Golden State Warriors? I'm not. You know why? Because the Houston Rockets are good. We'll talk about them on the other side. TK and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. TK Barber here on TK and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. I got to tell you, over that break, and it was only 5 minutes, things just got real, real out in Anfield as Liverpool is now up 3-0 over Barcelona in the Champions League Leg 2 semifinal. And obviously, those who don't know how this works, it's an aggregate score. They played Leg 1 last Friday, or Monday. They played Leg 1 they played it over the weekend, maybe Friday, because I think we were watching it here. And Barcelona won 3-0. So the way the aggregate works, it's whoever has the best goal differential. Right now, Barcelona is getting shut out 3-0 to Liverpool, and it's going crazy. 2 goals in less than 5 minutes by Samter. I'm going to put this on you, make you screw up this guy's name because I don't know it. Number 5 for Liverpool just headed his second goal of the second half in about 3 minutes ago. How do you say his name, Samter?
Jorginho Wijnaldum.
That sounds close.
There's a J in there that I'm missing, I think. Wijnaldum.
Why is this interesting? It's interesting because my brother, who is a Manchester United faithful, he loves them because the Buccaneers owners, the Glazers, also own Man U. So he's been over there. He's seen a few games and kind of become a European soccer fan. And I, wanting to kind of enjoy partake in his soccer fandom, had to pick a team. And I could have picked Man City because that's the direct competitor to Man U, same city. But I was told by Ronde and others that Man City is a team they hate. They buy championship. They're like the Yankees. You don't want to be a Man City fan because it's like jumping on the bandwagon. Go ahead, Samter.
Well, two things. One, as a Man U fan, obviously Ronde is going to say that because Man U and Man City are like
true
inner city rivals.
It's like the
yeah. So I'm taking that with a grain of salt. But people do hate Man City. They hate Man U more because they are really the Yankees now.
Yeah, but not recently.
Very true. Now, I made it more difficult than I had to be on his name because his nickname is Ginny. So Ginny Wijnaldum.
Ginny Wijnaldum. Come
Ginny
on,
Ginny Wijnaldum. There it is.
You should have known that. But anyways, he scored 2 goals in the last 5 minutes. We went to break. It was 1-0. It's now 3-0. And the reason that's important is because on aggregate, this series or this semifinal is now even. So basically, you're fighting for the next 30 minutes or so, probably 35, 34 or so with stoppage time to win, to advance to the Champions League final. And again, we'll talk to Ronde about that because he hasn't been following football. He's been following European soccer. We'll ask also about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and how Bruce Arians is doing down there. And then more importantly, relative to European soccer, Bruce Grobelaar, who's a former Liverpool goalie, will join us in our 5 o'clock hour as well. So last night, the Golden State Warriors were down by 17 or so to the Houston Rockets. And it just seemed like, oh, this is the Rockets game. Steph Curry, as good as he started this game off, 11 or so quick points. Maybe he was out of this slump that he's been in. and we detailed it yesterday. Steph Curry is not only is he getting himself into foul trouble, but he was horrendous from downtown. I think he shot 35% or so, 36% from the field, and 21 or so percent from 3-point range. He just hasn't been good these last couple of games, and they've been forced to rely on Kevin Durant. Now, the reason that this is getting this way is because Mike D'Antoni and this Houston Rockets team has figured out a way to frustrate and disrupt what Golden State does. And it's not surprising because it's the same things that the LA Clippers did. You put your bodies on these guys, especially Steph and especially Klay. They don't like to be, I don't know, they don't like to be bodied around or hit around while they're trying to get into their shooting lanes and into their shooting motions. And as a result, they've been off. And what's happened as a result is that the Golden State Warriors have had to rely almost solely on Kevin Durant. I mean, he had 34 last night, but two nights ago he had 40. And he just without him, this Golden State team is not even competing on the road against the Houston Rockets. Now, some people are saying, well, I mean, this is – all right, this is they should be scared. What's going on? Their bench is not as good as it used to be. It's, you know, this Rockets team has proven that they're better. I just want to pump our brakes here for a second. The Houston Rockets, if not for Chris Paul going down with a hamstring injury last year, they probably beat the Golden State Warriors last year, right? The Houston Rockets, despite their horrendous start at the beginning of the season, turned out to be one of the best teams in the Western Conference this year. James Harden is going to win the MVP again in back-to-back seasons, or probably will win the MVP again in back-to-back seasons. He set a record for three-point attempts. It's the philosophy. They're just going to shoot and shoot and shoot. I think they took like 53-pointers last night. And by volume, they're going to beat you. And then get you in pick and rolls and throw lobs at the rim. It's what the Houston Rockets do. They're a good team. Oh, and by the way, they actually play some defense these last couple of years. And so I think we've trapped ourselves into this bias of expectation. It's what happens when you don't have a dog in the fight, right? I'm not a Golden State Warriors fan. I'm not a Houston Rockets fan. I like both of these teams. I like a lot of their players, but I don't have a rooting interest. And so when I tend to pick, like, who's going to win? Who would I think is going to win? And we all get beholden to what our thoughts are, who's going to win. I tend to go with the team that I expected from the end of last year through the entirety of the regular season and into the postseason, who I thought was going to win. That was the Golden State Warriors. And so I've put in my mind that the Golden State Warriors are the better team and they're going to win another championship and KD is going to be finals MVP all over again. It's an expectation that's causing me to be biased. And so I watch these games, at least these last couple, in Houston, and just like everybody else, and we want to say, oh, this Golden State Warriors team's in trouble now. No, they're not. The Houston Rockets are just good. They have hustling players, P.J. Tucker. Obviously, Chris Paul is there. James Harden was ridiculous last night. Didn't matter who was guarding him. Even Austin Rivers even had a couple of good plays out there in the time that he was given. Both benches get short, so fatigue becomes an issue. This Houston Rockets team is good, period. So don't be surprised that they win a home game, right? If this was an Oracle, then maybe I'd be a little bit concerned about the Golden State Warriors. This is in Houston, right? We always talk about this. The home team tends to get an advantage, and they pick up some energy when they're at home because the role players tend to play better. You're sleeping in your own bed. Your routine is normalized in a sense. Everything feels familiar, right? Whether it's going to get coffee at Starbucks or parking in your parking spot at the game, right? You know all these things. It's comfortable to you. Don't be surprised at the Golden State Warriors in a battle. Everybody's had their eyes, had their targets on them for years, And the most important thing about this series is that what we're really seeing is teams are catching up. Teams are figuring out how to do exactly what the Golden State Warriors do, barrage you and beat you with pace and be physical against you, right? Don't be surprised that the Houston Rockets are at this point with the Golden State Warriors. It's exactly what you should have expected this Houston Rockets team would be at home. Hey, are you guys surprised by this? Are you surprised, Samter, that the Houston Rockets are making this a series?
No, not only am I not surprised, but after what I saw last year, my expectation was the Rockets in seven before this series started.
Even without home court advantage. Didn't matter.
The Warriors are obviously the more talented team. They're probably the better team. But the Rockets are just... The Warriors rely on their talent. They pass the ball. They're a good team together. But the Rockets just beat the crap out of you.
Yes.
Emotionally.
You're right.
And physically.
They
and
run Steve you ragged. They run you ragged.
Steve Kerr had one of the most incredible quotes I've ever heard in my life after the game to explain literally just how outmatched they are against the Rockets when it comes to physicality.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, they got a lot of middle linebackers on that team. They're sturdy, and you know, we look like more like volleyball players, long and lean. But we've done this many times before, and we've played all kinds of different teams, and everybody tries to be physical with us, and you know, because they should. That's the best way to try to beat us. And so Houston's very physical. They're very good. But I'll go back to it again. We know what we have to do.
Yeah, they know what they have to do. He spelled it out perfectly right there. The Golden State Warriors have been here before. They've had teams be physical with them. They've had frustrating days where they, for Steph Curry, the shots just will not go down, right? Klay Thompson has to work too hard to be a defender because he's out there on James Harden all day, and James Harden just toys with you. It's crazy watching James Harden because he's not moving fast. You know what I mean? He's not overpounding the ball and making you confused like Kyrie Irving does when he tries to cross you up. James Harden just kind of slow and methodical, gets you back on your heels, and the next thing you know, he's by you. It's odd watching him because he's so talented, even though he's not, you know, this super athlete with the ball in his hands. It's amazing. He's like, he lulls you to sleep, and then he flies by you. But my point is, the Golden State Warriors have been here. They didn't expect this to be easy. I think our bias of expectation made us think that this was going to be easy for them because on paper they're the better team. But Steve Kerr said it perfectly. They're going to figure it out. Steph Curry is eventually going to start making 45% of his shots and 40-plus percent of his three-pointers. Eventually, they're going to start moving the ball around. I know they had 24 or 5 assists or so last night. They're going to have a game where they have 30. They have 35 assists. And Houston's going to get worn out themselves because they're now stuck in the Golden State Warriors form of play. Don't be surprised. It's a road game against the Houston Rockets and a league MVP against a very good Houston team. Why are we surprised that this is 2-2? This just should have been exactly what you should have expected. Can Nick Bosa coexist with his 49ers teammates after some of the unpopular comments and posts that he made while he was in college? Well, one of his teammates, an unexpected one, kind of came to his defense. Football at the 40s is up next, but first, here's an update from Richard Ackerman. It's golf's next major, the world's best eye, the prestigious Wanamaker Trophy, and Tiger shoots for back-to-back majors and is 16th overall. The PGA Championship next weekend only on CBS. Tiki Barber here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. We are anxiously watching in these breaks this Champions League semifinal, the second leg. Barcelona down 3-0 to Liverpool. Bruce Grubelar will join us in our next hour to talk about it. Hopefully this game will be over by then. Oh, I lied. 4-0. 4-0. Liverpool. Liverpool is currently advancing to the final with a 4-3 aggregate over Barcelona. This is crazy. Samter and I were talking about this in the break. Barcelona came into this game, and Barcelona obviously has the great Messi on it, came into this game looking not to lose. And this is the same thing applies in every sport, it seems like. When you play not to lose, what happens? You end up losing. You end up doing stupid things. You give up big mistakes. And what happened here? Barcelona got lazy, really lazy on a corner kick. Liverpool hurried over, caught them without their backs, with their backs turned, walking up field. I don't know who. I think this is Origa. Yeah, just snuck one in. Liverpool now has a 4-0 advantage over Barcelona in the Champions League second leg of the semifinal, which currently on aggregate puts them into the final. There's about 15 or 12 or so minutes left before this match comes to an end. Wow, this is crazy. Football at the 40. Sam, are you ready? And now we're talking football, but football at the 40s. You ready? Let's go.
40-yard kick, right hash mark. 40-yard
under return.
A 40-yard touchdown.
40 yards.
You love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, you teased it before, but Nick Bosa has said some and retweeted some very controversial things in the past.
What could be construed as controversial?
He called Colin Kaepernick a clown.
Yes. We don't know exactly what he was referring to.
Think we have an idea of what he was referring to.
But there was no context. I'm just not being an apologist. I'm
correct.
Just saying.
Now, we also know that his great-grandfather is now Joey Batters from Al Capone's day.
Yeah.
So I guess you don't really mess with the Bosa family. But a lot of people were worried about what some of his commentary might mean, especially going to a city like San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
But one of his teammates, Richard Sherman, came out and defended him
a little
bit.
I got to tell you, and he started to say some things, Nick Bosa, to, I guess, set himself forward, I guess. He said, I'm going to be surrounded by so many different people of all different kinds. I got to grow as a person. I'm going to be on my own. In college, you kind of have this support system, this insulation around you. But once you become an NFL player, dude, you're on your own. And you're in a locker room with some men who have some serious opinions. But Richard Sherman was interesting, his response. Richard Sherman, one of the most outspoken and straightforward and real football players in the league, said, quote, it's not like something where guys are like, hey, man, what about what you said? No. If he can play, he can play. If he can't play, he won't be here. But at the end of the day, that's what all that matters. Is he getting sacks on Sunday? Is he helping our team? Is he being a good teammate? Those are the things that matter. And he's right, right? In football, if you help your team win and you're a baller and they can come to depend on you, then they'll have dialogue with you. If you're a no-show and a pain in the butt and have no kind of connection with any of the players, doesn't matter how good you are, you'll be on the outside looking in. I think Nick Bosa will be just fine out in San Francisco.
We talked about this a couple weeks ago. We kind of got on Le'Veon Bell for not being out at voluntary minicamp.
Yeah, you Jets fans in the room, you and BT, upset.
You didn't fully deny the...
I'm changing my thoughts on it.
Okay, well, Le'Veon responded with some social media posts. And what do you think about what he had to say?
Look, it's voluntary. Voluntary doesn't mean mandatory. And here's the bigger issue. He's not a quarterback. I understand that it's a game about chemistry and camaraderie, and so the idea of being around voluntary mini camps and things of that nature, so you get to know everybody and you can trust everybody, because football is the ultimate team sport, right? It's all about being able to understand and read that guy who's right next to you so that things work. But we also have come to the point where we shame guys who don't show up. And Le'Veon Bell is getting shamed. How dare you not be there? You got to be there. First of all, he was there at the voluntary workouts, right? The workouts. He was not there for the voluntary mini camp. And there's a difference, especially because mini camps, you know what they're putting in? This is the I formation. This is the spread formation. This is the misdirection play. They're not doing anything, right? It's a limited playbook. It's really just about camaraderie. If he was a quarterback, I'd be worried. Le'Veon Bell's a running back. and he's got an unbelievably high football IQ. He's going to be just fine. And when he starts doing Lev Bell things, we won't remember that he wasn't around this offseason. Give him some slack. He knows how to be great.
And just for the record, here's what he tweeted and what he posted. When it's time to play football, I got to stick to the formula that I know works for me.
That's right.
To be the best player I can be.
Voluntary.
So there you go. Next, Dak Prescott is ready for a big extension. Clarence Hill of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram reports the Cowboys are likely to give him upwards around $30 million a year. And yesterday, Jerry Jones joined Michael Irvin on the Rich Eisen show and said this.
Oh, I think that we're sold on Dak, and we do want to have him for the long term. We think he's worthy of investing in for the long term. When you look at the snaps he's had, when you look at the situations he's been in, when you look at, first of all, how he got here, and then you see really how he has performed, but we see a real upside in Dak.
Is it a mistake for the Cowboys to invest that much money?
No, I don't think
Dak.
So. Look, at some point, I could have questioned whether or not it was the right move to give Dak Prescott all this money. He's not a first-round draft pick, so they don't have the fifth-year option, so they have to get this deal done now. He is grossly underpaid. I think he's like 41st amongst quarterbacks in salary, average salary right now. Do I think he's going to make upwards of $28, $29 million like Kirk Cousins? Let's remember, Matt Ryan is only making $30 million. Yeah, I do, and he deserves to because he's become the unquestioned leader in that team. It's not always about skill, right? If you say, does Dak Prescott have the skill of Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers? The answer is clearly no. But Dak Prescott is the leader of this Dallas Cowboys team, and the leader, when you happen to be a quarterback, gets paid $28 or $29 or $30 million a year. It's the right move for the Dallas Cowboys to make because the alternative is not any fun. That is trying to go out and try to find somebody else.
So the Eagles moved on from Nick Foles, and they're going to put all their eggs in the Carson Wentz basket. GM Howie Roseman was on 94 WIP, and he said this about a possible extension.
For us, this is something that we're planning to do, and if the deal is right for us and the deal is right for Carson, we wouldn't hesitate to pull the trigger on that. That's just the amount of confidence that we have, and we want to build this team knowing kind of what that piece is in place and go forward.
Same kind of similar situation
with
Rivers out in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about this one, though, Sam Terry.
Yeah, do you think that they need to kind of let him, kind of what Donovan McNabb said?
So he does have the fifth-year option, Carson Wentz, and they have already decided to pick it up, which is next season. Not this season. It's next season. So I'm worried. I'm worried that Carson Wentz can't stay healthy for a full season. And until you know that answer, it's really, really, really hard to justify giving him a long-term contract because we know how these contracts are structured these days, right? It's something that's team friendly. These major franchise type quarterback, quarterbacks who make all this money, it's dangerous, right? And so his fifth year option is for next year, 2020. That's when he's making $22 million. This year he's making, his base salary is under $1 million. So should they have him make more because of where he is? Yes, but before you do a long-term $30-plus million extension with Carson Wentz, I got to know if he's going to be healthy. Again, you have the franchise tag, which is $22 million next year, already locked in on him. I think it'd be prudent to wait if I'm the Philadelphia Eagles.
This one I'm torn about as a fan, but also it's just, I don't know, just my moral compass is very confused on this one. Rich Incognito, obviously we know all about the bully situation with Jonathan Martin and everything that went on there, took some time off, went to the Bills, and then last year had some mental evaluations, there was some fights and
some breakdowns.
What was the thing
with his dad? Wasn't there something with his dad?
A bunch of weird things. He got arrested at a gym for threatening somebody. He had to go in for mental evaluation. Now, obviously, I'm assuming he's doing better because now he's close to a deal with the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah.
But do you think he should get another chance in the NFL after all the stuff he's done?
This makes sense for a lot of reasons because John Gruden is this type of coach, right? He's a coach, and we've talked about this many times. He wants vets, right? He wants guys who have been in the trenches before, who have done it before, who have, you know, have experience, that he doesn't have to coach them up on how to be winners. And Richie Incognito provides that. The question is, how much football does he have left in him? He's 32, I think he is, maybe 31, 32. He's had a lot of wear and tear on his body. He's 35. Wow. Yeah. See, we came in the league late. So he's 35, had a lot of wear and tear on his body. I get it. And this, he deserves a chance if his mental health issues have been solved. But I don't like this one if I'm the Raiders.
The 49ers have drafted, I think, four now defensive linemen in the past five or six years. Yeah. DeForest Buckner, Solomon Thomas, Jonathan Allen, obviously now Nick Bosa. And apparently, according to Ian Rappaport, DeForest Buckner, who's the only one who's actually really stuck. Oh, and Eric Armstead as well.
Yep.
He's the only one who's really stuck, and they're looking to make a long-term deal. Apparently, they're very far apart. What's he worth, and is he really worth breaking the bank?
So here's the hard thing. This position is commanding, you know, $18, $19 million a year. And I think the 49ers are not in that position yet. Once you started to climb, you know, the proverbial ladder of relevancy and import on a team, you should think about getting paid. The problem is the 49ers aren't at that. They're not at that juncture as a team right now. I mean, can they afford to pay a guy that much money and break the bank on a defense that is full of stars? Right, they don't know when one of these other first-round draft picks that they picked on the defensive line might pop. And the last thing you want to do is commit to one guy a year too early before the next guy rises to the top. So it's a tough situation for the 49ers. I think DeForest Buckner is a good player, but he's not worth the top end for defensive ends in the National Football League right now.
This one was also very interesting.
This is one of the most asinine things I've ever heard in my life.
So your new quarterback, the number six overall pick.
Honestly, one of the most asinine things I've
ever
heard.
The second quarterback taken in the NFL draft. Apparently, one team wanted to work out Daniel Jones as a tight end.
Yeah, that makes no sense at all. At all. I mean, I know he's a very good athlete, by the way.
I mean, does this worry you?
No, it just makes me think that somebody's an idiot. I understand that Daniel Jones doesn't have the strongest arm, but he's very, very polished as a pocket passer. He puts the ball where it's supposed to be. He makes the decisions that he's supposed to make. I mean, to try him out at tight end because he runs a 4.8? He ran one of the faster 40s for quarterbacks, and he's an athlete. If you watch any of these Duke's games, it was him willing the team to victory by, you know, putting the team on his back, both on his arm and on his back. He'd do it with his legs half the time. I mean, it's crazy. You know how nuts that sounds that you would try him out at tight end. We just saw this last year, remember, with Lamar Jackson, where some teams want him to try out for wide receiver. And he was like, no, I'm not playing wide receiver. I'm a quarterback. And Daniel Jones smartly and I think prudently said, for those who think I want to play tight end, you can go scratch.
That was Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Well, today is a big day for my twin brother, but really the big day will come in late September. We will catch up with Rondé, who is the newest and 13th inductee into the Ring of Honor for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're going to talk with Rondé on the other side of this break. I know he's going to have a lot to say about this Liverpool match, Liverpool-Barcelona. It's in 2.5 minutes of extra time. There's about 2.5 minutes remaining. Liverpool is currently leading Barcelona 4-0 in the second leg of the Champions League semifinal. On aggregate, Liverpool is up 4-1. There are no away goals, which obviously, if you don't know, they count more. And so if Barcelona does not score a goal here and get an away goal, then it looks like Liverpool may go on to the Champions League final.
This would be like the Warriors blowing a 35-point lead in the fourth quarter.
That's right. That's
in the
exactly
NBA,
right.
You know, in the Western Conference Finals.
You're
or blowing
right.
a 3-0 series lead. This is like historic
and
right
now.
And by
the way, they're doing it without one of the great players in all of international soccer, Mohamed Salah, who is out of this game because he got a concussion in leg one of the semifinal. Bobby Firmino is also out. So two of their best players aren't even playing, and they've scored 4 goals against Barcelona. That's Messi's Barcelona. Rondé Barber coming up next. TK and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.